As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire. My clothes may still be torn and tattered.
To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WJXC Morning Show. Today we will hear from Roland Grosser co-founder Sela Graham, who's also a WJXC volunteer host, but off the air currently because she's running for office this fall in Claverack. Here she'll be interviewed about that campaign with WJXC's Randall Martin. We'll also hear from Bob Cohen of Citizen Action about a climate change rally being organized for September 17th. And we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service, the local Better Weather, and the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WJXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
It's WGXC 90.7 FM.
Right.
Acre.
Keep going.
Hudson, Catskill, Phoenicia, and lots of other places.
That's an interesting addition.
And Valencia.
And
or
Valencia.
As they usually call it when you first land in Columbia County.
Valati. Very well done. Did you mention the online way
and online at WGXC.org.
Yes.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jeff Economy of Kingston, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Wednesday, August 30th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Andrea Macko reports in Porcupine Soup that a day after Greene County Public Health warned local residents to stay vigilant after several reports of suspicious vans targeting women walking in the Catskill and Jefferson Heights area, the Catskill Police Department released a statement saying there was no threat. The statement said, quote, "The Catskill Police Department would like to advise all residents of the outcome of an investigation that the Catskill New York State Police Barracks conducted concerning two suspicious vans in the Jefferson Heights area that had alarmed a young woman on August 25th. The state police tracked the two suspicious vans down and interviewed the operators. The investigation revealed that there was no threat and that they were a legitimate delivery company making deliveries in the area," unquote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that Wallet Hub listed Columbia Green Community College as the highest ranked SUNY community college in New York in their annual Best and Worst Community Colleges list, released earlier this month. College President Dr. Carly Drummer had other good news, saying, quote, on the opening day of the fall semester, Columbia Green recorded 9% more students, continuing the positive post-pandemic enrollment trend, unquote. Final enrollment numbers for this fall will not be confirmed until October. Read more about the story in Porcupine Soup. The Daily Freeman reports that Bard College Assistant Professor Carrie Ann Norton has been awarded $31,657 as part of a larger cancer study funded by the National Cancer Institute at the National Institutes of Health. Norton uses computer models to investigate the potential success of novel drug combinations for clinical cancer treatment, the school said, announcing the award. Norton is working to improve the effectiveness of immunotherapy drugs using computer models. The school said Norton is to address, quote, some of the challenges associated with the analyzing and calibrating agent-based models in order to develop an approach that leverages ordinary differential equation models to bridge the computational gap between ABMs and experimental data at the cellular level. Norton's research expertise is in multi-scale agent-based modeling of tumor microenvironments, and she will lead the development, simulation, and analysis of the agent-based cancer model. She will also help design the tumor-immune interactions with the ABM, unquote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms before 1 p.m., then a slight chance of showers between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m., with a temperature high near 78 degrees. On Wednesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 56 degrees. And on Thursday, sunny with a high near 73 degrees. And Thursday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 51 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXE, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
Latest reports indicate that the best protection from radioactive fallout is a shelter.
Yet less than 5% of our population has one.
Do you...
Now, from Survival, one of the nation's leading manufacturers, comes an economical combination steel and concrete block, civil defense approved fallout shelter, offering maximum protection from nuclear fallout and falling debris.
FHA approved, you need nothing down. 5 years to pay.
Will you be prepared in case of atomic attack?
Will you and your loved ones be protected from nuclear fallout and falling debris?
For your family's protection from nuclear fallout, see a Survival shelter today.
I'll be there in an hour. Take half a month there on foot. Water little hole, scummy water tower. Climb to the top, all aboard if I could. I'll be set in heaven. You will find me there. Yeah. Jesus, rise beside me. He never applies any smokes. I tell you, hurry up, hurry up. I've had enough of this stuff. Till it flows, sleepy tough with the jokes. I'll be there in the evening.
army water tower, and I can hardly wait. I can't 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 wait till it's
your host, Randall Martin, and we are very excited today because with us on the air is a very familiar voice, one that you've actually heard on this radio station and that you hear on this radio station every week. But in addition to being a radio host here, she does so many other things, and we're going to get a chance to learn all about what she does today. On the line with us today is Sheila Graham. And Sheila, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you. So, you do a lot of stuff. I'm not really sure how many people know how many hats that you wear. You're on the school board. You're co-founder of the Rolling Grocer. All sorts of things. And you're a radio a great guest on the radio show as well as a host.
Correct.
And you're an accountant.
I'm not an accountant. I'm a tax preparer and I'm a certified notary public for the Columbia County or for New York State. I'm a mobile notary, actually, so that's a distinction.
Okay.
In that, yeah.
Nice for clearing it up. But I know that you did like accounting and tax preparation work. So, welcome. I mean, we pass paths, we cross paths all the time at the Rolling Grocer or various community events. But again, I'm not really sure people know, all about what you do, and you're a fascinating person. So why don't you give the folks in Greene and Columbian County a little bit of an introduction to yourself?
I'll be transparent and say that I'm also running for local town board in my town of Clive Rock, New York.
Okay.
And so I'll be coming off of the air as a two-part co-host between Tom DiPietro and I. Because when you're running for a campaign, you have to kind of be on the air, off of the air until after your campaign. So from the 24th on, I'll be off. So I'll probably be populating a lot more programs and a lot more shows and discussing things. But in the meantime, I'm also a mom of 7 children, all born in Columbia County. Well, with the exception of one was born in Albany.
I did not know that.
You didn't know I had 7 kids?
I did not know that, no.
Yeah. That's my superpower.
and so, go ahead. Go ahead. So tell me about, so you're running for office. Now, I know I was off the air, also ran for office during the primary. And so we had to be off the air for a little while. And so you're going to be missed. You have a show, huh? With our great friend, Tom DiPietro. You have a show, very entertaining. So you're going to be missed during that time.
Well, I mean, it's like what? It's like 9 weeks, something like 9 or 10 weeks, yeah.
It is.
It's heavy. Yeah.
I missed it. I missed not being on the radio.
You should have come on our show during that time, and because I didn't even know that, you know, because the thing about politics is, and, you know, offices and government, is that they're all so different that you can't actually nail them all down and say these are what they do and this is how they are. So I didn't know that in the Hudson primaries that your primaries are a little earlier. And so you're running and you're campaigning a lot earlier than most other towns.
I didn't know that either, actually.
Yeah, because I don't start my campaign and all that until, you know, I don't start canvassing and doing all that until September. But you were canvassing in like spring and things, right?
I know. It was a little off for me. It was my first time, and it was odd to be in that position because I've been on the committee for a long time, and so I help others. And so for me, doing it for myself, it was a different experience. But I am glad that I went through it.
Yeah, and this is my first time also, and I've never really thought of myself as a helper in that process because I I felt like it was really one of those things where you have to be all hands on deck. And I'm so much on hands on deck in my everyday life that I couldn't be able to sacrifice the time. But I've definitely voted. I've been a voter since I could, as a newly found citizen of this country.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I am from Jamaica originally, and I've been here a long time. I was supposed to be Canadian, but my mother changed her mind.
I know your story, and you've got quite a interesting background and testimony. Even when you've come here, you've overcome a lot, and it's wonderful what you've been able to do here in Columbia County.
Thank you. I think that, I'm hoping that people will take my situation and my experience and realize that they're not too far from it as well. I think one of the best things about this country is the ability to be a part in many ways. And, when you're a part of something, your representation matters, your voice matters. And you stand up for people who may feel that they have something in line with you. And now they have the ability to see themselves in you, and maybe they too will rise up and do something for their community, for their family, for themselves. So it's really important to get up and try a little bit.
Well, absolutely. You, that's the same way. I felt like it was my first time in the first ward, because I had lived in the fifth ward for a long time. And,
the fifth ward is hard. It's impenetrable.
It is. It is a different experience. But I knew people, a lot of people there. This is my first war. And I have to say that I got so much great support, met so many great people. It was actually a wonderful experience. And the best part of it, which is kind of the most off-putting part of it, is going around and meeting all your neighbors. And you have to, you canvas, you talk to your people. But you really have such great conversations as you meet people and you get to know what they're interested in and what their priorities are. And it differs from house to house. And it is just kind of wonderful, because in no other context do you meet your neighbors or learn your neighbor about your neighborhood in such depth.
Right.
I'm probably going to do it again, and people always keep.
As you should.
Yeah. And if people want to write me in, that's always a possibility. But I feel like, as you said, you got to be, your voice has to be in the conversation in order to have that sort of representation that people have. You need diverse voices at the table that are going to be able to correctly articulate your situation and your constituency. Because if you don't, then those issues don't get addressed.
Right. And not only that, but people who are closer to the pain should be a part of the process of change.
Yes.
I sincerely believe that. I think also one of the things that people never really talk about, or they do, but they talk about in such a negative way, is the differences between the parties. And I feel like there's a lot more, there should be a lot more bipartisanship. We should be able to talk to Republicans. We should be able to talk to independents. We should be able to talk to green keepers, and all have conversations and dialogue, because whether or not, I'm an NLP or a Democrat or Republican or whatever, if I make it into office, I'm still representing you.
Right.
And so as a representative of my community, I want to know the pain points of all my constituents. That's important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is the right attitude toward, representation and taking public office. It is a public trust that people assume that regardless of the party, you're going to get in there and do what is right for, everyone, not just your particular group. But unfortunately, and I think that happens mostly locally, but I think as you get up the chain, if you whether it be assembly or Congress or Senate, or certainly, the presidential election, it is very, very partisan, and people are like, you're either this or that. And if you're this, and I don't think that serves the public well. I think you've got to do, you've got to represent everyone. So it's vital. And I encourage everyone to get involved in the process. Again, I learned so much being on this end, and it's not easy. It's not easy running and putting yourself out there. And I didn't realize on the radio, and I'm in the public eye and many other aspects, but I didn't realize it's a huge time commitment, and it's a vulnerable position to be out there. Now, I have to say, I hear a lot of... I don't know what's going on in the background, but there's...
Sorry. You know, I got 7 kids. That's why I leave with that. I let people know that ahead of time. Because unless I go into my my first office, which is my car,
right,
I have some background.
Okay.
But that's real. You know what I mean? So
yeah. I don't know what you're cooking, but there's a lot... There's
no, I'm not cooking. I'm in the living room, which is near the front door, and, you know, people are coming in and out, so
no
that's
worries.
What's happening.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
When people believe lies about our elections, they hold the people right in front of them most potentially accountable.
Maine Secretary of State Shenna Bellows is one of many election officials across the nation urging Congress to provide funding for a secure election next year. They want around $400 million to provide counties with security updates and technology to safeguard elections. An Issue 1 poll finds most Americans across party lines say the federal government should be more responsible for election funding. They are also seeking funds dedicated to combating election disinformation. The Movement Advancement Project's National Election Denial Risk Index shows more than 157 million people live in states at a moderate risk of election denialism. Brian Hinkle, co-author of the project, says the repercussions of the 2020 election are ongoing.
The recent indictments charging former President Trump and others with conspiracy to overturn the results of the election, among other crimes, I think highlight both the continuing threat of election denial as well as a potential path for states to hold bad actors accountable.
The states most at risk for election denialism are Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Dakota, and Wyoming. Election experts feel the best defense is for states to implement their own voting rights laws. The Cook Political Report found divisiveness has grown over the last 25 years, especially between rural and urban areas. Heidi Heitkamp, the former Democratic senator from North Dakota, founded One Country, a group aimed at providing a voice for rural political issues. She says the divide will play a prominent role in the 2024 election, noting empty promises to rural voters won't cut it anymore.
Showing up is a big part of it, but don't show up empty-handed. That's what I tell them. Don't show up empty-handed. Understand, but also listen. Preach, but also try and bring people together. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
She argued Democrats won't be a majority party until they can reconcile the urban-rural divide. Along with concerns about implementing broadband in remote areas, Heitkamp notes other important issues to rural voters are daycare, aging in place, and tackling rising healthcare costs. 10 drugs have been picked as the first to be part of the Medicare negotiations established by the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. Most of the medicines treat diabetes, while others treat strokes, heart failure, and blood clots. A U.S. Department of Health and Human Services report found prescription drug prices far exceeded the 8.5% rate of inflation, reaching a high of 31.6%. President Joe Biden described some benefits it will have.
Negotiating drug prices alongside other provisions of this law isn't just going to put more money back in the pockets of millions of Americans across the country. It's also going to lower the federal deficit.
The Congressional Budget Office reported the federal government will save more than $160 billion a year. I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A New Hampshire 2020 U.S. Senate candidate endorsed by former President Trump is questioning Trump's qualification for the presidency under the 14th Amendment, Section 3, designed to keep former Confederate leaders from holding office. Republican Corky Messner said in a New Hampshire Today radio interview that as a constitutional conservative, his reading of Section 3 suggests that Trump's actions in the January 6th insurrection may disqualify him from the New Hampshire presidential primary ballot, and says it should go to the courts soon. Section 3 reads, "No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under a state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. But Congress may, by a vote of 2/3 of each House, remove such disability." Messner said he is considering a lawsuit to move it quickly to the U.S. Supreme Court. New Hampshire Secretary of State David Scanlon said he is seeking legal advice in the matter. We have legal articles and more on Section 3 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
think of a bum bum. Put your arms on me again. Little different style, different fashion. You know? Tell me, say one thing, Nancy, if you understand. One thing, Nancy, if you understand. What make them talk about me ambition? Say what make them talk about me ambition? Come and say some of them ask me where me get it from. Tell some of them ask me where me get it from. I told them, no, no, it's from creation. I told them, no, no, it's from creation. Bam, bam, ayo, what a bam.
With Sister Nancy with Bam Bam on the radio at WGXC.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Chocolate pigs.
She's obsessed with pigs.
Chocolate pigs.
Awesome.
All the way down.
The only dogs can hear.
Burn his...
I turned it down. Do it.
Did you hear that?
No.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're talking with Bob Cohen, who's the Policy and Research Director of Citizen Action of New York. And Citizen Action is one of many groups that are organizing to support the September 17th End Fossil Fuels Rally and March in New York City, being held right before a special United Nations meeting on climate change. And there will be buses coming, you know, from the Capital District. So, Bob, why are groups mobilizing for September 17th?
Well, Mark, first, thanks for having me. To quote the Secretary General of the United Nations, who said last December that the 1.5 degree goal is gasping for breath. So he was referring, of course, to the finding of scientists as to the limits on what we have to raise temperatures to avoid a global climate catastrophe. So it's really getting to be critical. And I think everybody just needs to watch the weather and see the what we've been experiencing this summer with the wildfires and the storms, destruction of part of the state of Hawaii, et cetera. So we need to mobilize in the streets. I mean, lobbying and all that stuff, I do that is very important, but we really, really have to express the opinion of a majority of Americans that climate change is a true crisis and needs to be dealt with by government, and particularly our president.
And you mentioned President Biden. So even though this rally is conjunction with the United Nations special meeting on climate, there are things that people would like President Biden to take on climate. What are some of the key things that the federal government could be doing even without congressional approval?
Sure. And by the way, this is not like a report card this March for President Biden. I mean, we all know he did the Inflation Reduction Act, a lot of subsidies for climate, for individuals transitioning to EVs, things like that. There's some good things, but the reality is there is a lot of unfinished business, as you've said, that he could do. So among the March demands is to declare a climate emergency, which would have the effect of halting fossil fuel exports and investments abroad and set us to moving toward resilient distributed energy like community solar. And there are other demands, but the other big one, I think that directly relates to Biden in concrete action, is stopping federal approval for new fossil fuel projects. Biden has a huge influence on what the federal agencies can do in that area.
Yeah, I was just reading an article that the amount of fossil fuels extracted on federal lands under the Biden administration was even higher than under the Trump administration, even though, of course, Trump was much more of a climate denier than the present administration. You know, what are some of the groups that are mobilizing for September 17th?
Well, what I've heard, I'm not part of the central leadership, so to speak, but it's a coalition of national climate groups like the Center for Biological Diversity, People Against Fossil Fuels, which is a coalition, along with a number of state-based advocacy groups, New York Communities for Change, my organization's national affiliate, which is the largest community group in America, or Confederation of Community Groups, People's Action, has endorsed the march. So it's a really wide range of organizations. There are dozens and dozens of local organizations listed on the webpage for the march from everywhere in the country.
Is there still time to, we're not going to stop climate change, but is there still time to keep global warming below the 1.5 degrees Celsius warming target that pretty much the world has agreed is what we need to do to give, a good chance of keeping civilization as we know it?
Well, I think that's an interesting debate, which I'll be honest with you, I have not spent a lot of time thinking about. Some people have even made the argument it's too late. I think what I've heard is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, that we're very close to the 1.5, maybe at 1.2. So I think we can, but I think it's more important to say, what is our choice? We have no other choice if we want to have a chance to save civilization. And that's how I prefer to look at it individually, that the world is going to get dramatically, dramatically worse. But, I think if we want to have any hope, we've got to do what we can.
You know, I've been seeing ads on, cable television and elsewhere that, sort of makes the argument that oh, this is, you know, both a overreaction to the problem, but, you know, we're not going to be able to afford this stuff. And, you know, if we get rid of all this fossil fuels, we're going to see increase in blackouts. And, you know, we're not going to be able to cook and heat in our homes. And it's going to be bad for the economy. And people are going to have to pay a lot more money for energy. You know, what's your sort of take on that type of, I guess, I don't know, propaganda or argument?
Well, I basically have three arguments against that. One is you got to remember this is part of the propaganda campaign of the fossil fuel industry, just like the cigarette companies, you know, 50 years ago when the Surgeon General said cigarette smoking detrimental to human health. So that's the one thing. You have to take it for a grain of salt. Two is in terms of cost. You know, it would really take too long on an interview this time to do the exact things, but essentially many of the transitions that we need to make in our personal lives are in the long and medium term, transition to fossil fuels is actually cheaper. Granted, the sometimes upfront costs are a lot, but just as an example, a quick personal example, my wife and I are in the process of moving to a technology called air source heat pumps that's more climate friendly in our house. We would have had to have replaced the existing fossil fuel heater that we already have. So in a few years, we're going to make the cost back. And considering we're talking about, you know, the future of civilization and there are costs to society from these storms. I mean, Maui alone in Hawaii is going to cost billions and billions of dollars. We're going to all pay for that one way or another.
Now, I understand they're going to have three buses coming from the Capital District. If people are interested in getting a ticket, is there a website that they go to? How do they get on the bus?
Yes. So if you want to just, whether you're in the Capital District or Board of Viewing area, I think the best way to do that would be go to a webpage called climatecan'twait.org and then go to front/events. Once again, climatecan'twait.org/events, which will get you into all of the buses that we know of in New York State. But just as you said, Mark, there are buses from the Capital District, but also the Hudson Valley, places like Kingston. There are places, ways to get there.
You know, what messages would you give to, you know, elected officials, both at the state and a federal level at this point?
Well, I would basically say they have got to take climate change seriously in light of the crisis that it is. Incrementalism is not enough. So when we talk about affordability, yes, we got to consider affordability. But when it comes to the issue of the future of the planet, you know, we got to be consistent with the science, which means that even though it may seem dramatic to say, do not approve any fossil fuel facilities in New York State or nationally. That is clearly what the science requires us to do.
Well, thank you, Bob Cohen. Bob Cohen, Policy and Research Director of Citizen Action. And this has been Mark Dunley. We've been talking about September 17th. Mark Dunley with Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I live in a town with 100 lights around my head.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Rachel Silverstein reports for the Times Union that New York health officials are on high alert over a new COVID-19 strain, BA286, that was identified last week in the U.S. with a markedly different structure than previous iterations of the Omicron variant. Cases have been found in Israel, Denmark, South Africa, and now Michigan and Virginia, but not yet in New York. Biologists say they are concerned about the new variant because it appears to be the most genetically different strain to descend from the original Omicron variant that first emerged in November 2021. But they don't yet fully understand if it is more contagious or dangerous. New York Health Commissioner Dr. James McDonald said the department is tracking the, and I quote, highly divergent, end quote, strain, and I quote, remains vigilant for changes to the virus that could further threaten our public health, end quote. Syracuse University scientists are collecting and analyzing wastewater samples from across the state to detect the presence of COVID-19. Wadsworth Center Laboratory of Viral Disease Chief Dr. Kirsten St. George said in a statement, and I quote, as we look for this new strain, it is important to note that we do not yet know if it will cause more severe disease or if it will evade prior immunity. Scientists across the globe are working to answer those questions right now, end quote. Currently in New York, there are increases in COVID-19 hospital admissions and higher levels of COVID-19 detected in wastewater in many parts of the state. Mid-Hudson News reports that both Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie and Putnam Hospital in Carmel this week are reinstating mandatory mask policies. Governor Kathy Hochul also weighed in on the issue, saying, and I quote, while New Yorkers might want to be done with COVID-19, COVID-19 isn't done with us. With the increase in hospitalizations and reported cases this summer, I strongly urge everyone to take appropriate precautions to protect themselves and their communities. Keep New York safe. My administration will continue to monitor the situation, share information on the new boosters as soon as it's available, and continue to make N95 masks available statewide, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Lauren Stanforth reports in the Times Union that air travel to or from the Albany International Airport could be disrupted as Hurricane Idalia reaches Florida and other parts of the country. Airlines across the country have canceled a significant number of flights as Tropical Storm Idalia transitions into a hurricane. The storm is expected to hit Florida as a Category 3 storm and then hit parts of Georgia and the Carolinas. But it will interrupt air service, causing a ripple effect of delays and cancellations that will affect Albany travelers. For instance, both Tampa International Airport and Tampa St. Petersburg Clearwater Airport closed Tuesday, which will impact many other airports. Officials with the Albany Airport said many U.S. airlines are issuing travel waivers for passengers in and out of closed airports to rebook elsewhere without a fee. Travelers should check with their airlines for details. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union. Luke Posnow reports for New York State of Politics that a new report from the Commission of Ethics and Lobbying in Government said that lobbyists spent a record-breaking amount in Albany in 2022. The report, released August 28th, said lobbyists spent a $331 million record last year, up 13.2% from 2021. The report also said that more than 84,000 state officers and employees have participated in ethics training in just under a year. The top five lobbyists in donating to officials and candidates were the 1199 SEIU Labor Management Initiatives Incorporated, Healthcare Education Project at $5.7 million, the Greater New York Hospital Association at $3.5 million, Genting New York LCC at $2.5 million, and the 199 SEIU United Healthcare Workers East at $2.3 million, and AARP at $2.3 million. Commission on Ethics and Lobbying in Government Executive Director Sanford B. Berlin said in a statement, and I quote, New Yorkers have a right to transparency in government and to know what entities may attempt to influence government decision-making. This is especially true in a year when lobbying spending shattered all previous records. The annual report sheds light on which individuals and interests are lobbying state and local elected officials and policymakers. End quote. Read the full story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms before 1 p.m., then a slight chance of showers between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m., with a temperature high near 78 degrees. On Wednesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 56 degrees. And on Thursday, sunny with a high near 73 degrees. And Thursday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 51 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXE. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Am I you or are you me?
You are a happy person, full of imaginative thoughts which pour forth constantly. Each day you feel more lovable, more interesting. You become more interested in others. You recognize and accept the friendship that people offer you, for you truly deserve it. You have a deep and sincere respect for yourself and for your personal worth to others. It is easy for you to accept the help and cooperation of others. You see their help to you as an expression of mutual friendship and understanding. You now realize that giving and receiving are two sides of a single coin. You're aware of the trust and confidence you generate in others, and it makes you feel good. You think of yourself as a warm, generous, and loving person. You easily express love and affection, and you find it easy to accept love and approval. You like yourself because you are a friendly and giving person. You accept yourself as a unique and valuable person. You're open, honest, and direct in your relations with people. You recognize that you are exceptionally talented and highly creative. This awareness makes you feel good.
Me, 'cause
That was Gelato Negro with Transmission Listen from the 2017 album Private Energy. Next, we hear from the band Low. This is the song Days Like These from their 2021 album Hey What.
When you think you've seen everything, if I were living in days like these, and say you only take what you bring, maybe that's just the way they speak. Know that I would do anything. Is it something that I can't see? Everybody just chased by dreams. That's why we're living in days like these again. Something you can choose me to be. It isn't coming in twos and threes. Always looking for that one sure thing. Oh, you want it so desperately. You know you're never gonna feel. No, you're never gonna be released. Maybe never even see me. That's why we're living in days like these again.
Look again.